morning. It's Monday, and here we are again. I'm Gary Zimak. Welcome to Spirit in the Morning. I got a little bit of a frog in my throat. To all my friends at St. Robert Bellarmine Parish and to my wife, Eileen, the good news is I made it here today. A lot of people were concerned, a little foggy, but I did make it. Hey, let's do a prayer, and then I want to talk to you about the great show that we have lined up for you today. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today we pray St. Augustine's prayer to the Holy Spirit. Breathe in me, O Holy Spirit, that my thoughts may all be holy. Act in me, O Holy Spirit, that my work too may be holy. Draw my heart, O Holy Spirit, that I love but what is holy. Strengthen me, O Holy Spirit, to defend all that is holy. Guard me then, O Holy Spirit, that I always may be holy. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, it is a thrill to be back here with you today on the program. I survived Erie, Pennsylvania. We're going to talk about that in a minute. I made it through the first night of the parish mission at St. Robert Bellarmine in Warrington, and we'll talk about that as well. And we have got a great show for you today. For this Monday, this is a special day. Today we commemorate the one-year anniversary of the death of Mother Angelica. And Frank Eliason, our operations manager, came up with a great tribute to Mother that's going to play later in the program. But coming up on the program today, some special guests. Two great guests. The first one will be Carlo Broussard. Carlo works for Catholic Answers. He's a speaker. He's an author. He's an apologist. And he recorded a new CD, which I think you're going to really enjoy hearing about. Your Truth, My Truth, How to Understand and Refute Relativistic Thinking. Your truth is different than my truth. Well, that can't be. The truth is the truth. Carlo's going to talk about that. We'll also be joined by Megan Coakley, the director of the Office for New Evangelization for the Archdiocese of Philadelphia, and she's going to share some exciting news with us. We've got music, we've got inspiration, and as we do each day, waiting patiently, we have Mr. Dave Parker.
Good morning, Gary. Welcome back.
Brother Parker.
Brother Zimak,
hey,
it's great to see you again. I mean, you're a busy guy in Lent, I'm telling you.
Praise God for that. Dave, I want to talk about the parish mission that I kicked off last night in Warrington at St. Robert Bellarmine Parish. And the reason I want to do that is because you were mentioned.
Oh, no.
So we will talk about that. But how can I not talk about the hometown of Dave Parker?
Yes.
Erie, Pennsylvania. Dave, and I got to do this quickly because we got a lot of special features on the program today.
Go for it.
It was an unbelievable time. Well, first of all, I loved going to Erie. I was treated great. Everybody there was nice like you are.
Well, and thank you.
Except Father Larry Richards. How do I say that nicely?
How do you slip that in?
Father Larry is Father Larry, but it was a great time.
Well, real quick, you're back, so he didn't kill you. You must have done well.
And I'm going to talk about that.
Okay.
But I was blessed to be one of three speakers at the Erie, I think it's their third annual Catholic Men's Conference. Dave, it was unbelievable. It was at the old Warner Theater. You're familiar with that.
Yes. What did you think of that?
Gorgeous.
Isn't it gorgeous?
When I went out on stage and I looked up at the balcony and all, it was unbelievable.
Did you launch into song?
Did you bring your guitar out? I don't think Father Larry would have liked that.
I know.
And But the speakers, and I just want to talk briefly about this because this was such an unbelievably powerful event for me personally. The first speaker, Dave, I don't know if you've heard of him. His name is Captain Guy Gruters. He was an Air Force pilot, shot down twice during Vietnam. He spent 5 years in a prisoner of war camp.
Wow.
Dave, his story was unbelievable. Father Larry said the reason he brought him here, he was the most powerful speaker he ever heard. This guy, for 5 years, lived under horrible conditions, and he goes into all the detail. And I ran into Father Larry later, and I said, Father, how can I ever complain about anything after listening to his story? But you know what he said?
What?
He said that there was a reason he was in that POW camp, and God wanted him there because that was the way he was going to make it to heaven. It was an unbelievable story of trust in God's providence because he said God could get me out of here anytime if he wanted to. And unbelievable, 5 years as a prisoner of war under very horrible conditions, he was able, through his faith in God, and his faith grew while he was there, to get through this.
Wow.
And just an unbelievable story.
It sounds like, well, I had heard of him.
You would have liked him because you're a military guy, and what a good man.
And I have heard of him, but I didn't know that. I don't know that much about him. And But I was going to say, everybody has crosses, but some are... more of a cross than others. I mean, we all have our crosses, and they are painful to us. But what a story it sounds!
It was
like.
Unbelievable. And you could find his story on YouTube. I think he did a Journey Home episode. Check it out, Captain Guy Gruters. The second speaker was Justin Fatica. You may be familiar with him from the You're Amazing series on EWTN. Justin is high energy all the time.
Yes,
he brings a bus of missionaries with him. These are young guys that go around. Dave, they are reaching out to the heroin addicts, rape survivors, people who feel worthless, kids who want to kill themselves. Justin Fatica is an unbelievable person. I got to know him pretty well, and I was so impressed. I really enjoyed spending time with him. He just fired me up. His talk was great.
Isn't he an Erie guy?
He is in Erie, Pennsylvania. He was one of Father Larry's
students.
I have
to tout Erie, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, he was one of Father Larry's students. Yes. They hated each other during the time Justin was there, and they talked about that. But what a great story he had as well. And then I got to speak. Mm-hmm. And, Dave, one of the beautiful things about these men's conferences, and this one in particular, there's an opportunity for confession. And what they did, if you know the Warner Theater, on the stage, they had about 20 priests there different stations. Mm-hmm. And at one time after I went to confession, I was sitting up in the balcony just preparing for my talk because I spoke after lunch. And I'm watching the stage, and I'm seeing priests with men in front of them in chairs. Mm-hmm. Some of them are holding the man on their shoulders. I watched a priest get up and embrace a man. And I think, how many years has it been for some of these guys?
Yes.
What an unbelievably beautiful experience. I get chills.
I just got chills too. How powerful that is.
Confession is such a great sacrament. I would encourage you, if it's been a long time since you've been, please make it a point to go this Lent. Please make it a point, because it is such an unbelievably great gift that the Lord gives us. Mm-hmm. But that's all I wanted to say about that. Dave, I brought you some goodies back. I brought you some pepperoni bread from Erie.
Well, thanks, Gary.
And I also brought you something here that I didn't
show
you before. Did you ever, and I'm unwrapping this right now, did you ever hear of sponge candy?
I don't think
so. This is from Romolo's Chocolate.
Oh, yeah.
I
know.
Dave Parker.
Thank you, Gary Zimak.
Now, it's okay to eat a piece early in the morning if you want. I already started on this bag,
thank you.
They gave us these as gifts, and I had to share some of these with you.
Well, so, folks, I'm going to turn my mic off. You might hear me chewing on Gary's mic.
You have to try this. It's very good. Yeah, feel free to turn your mic off.
No, I'm just kidding.
And how about if I read the gospel now?
Please do. Thank you so much for the sponge candy from Romolo Chocolates in Erie, Pennsylvania.
You got to try those. And again, I've been eating them, so
Gary, I'm salivating as we speak. Go ahead.
Really good stuff.
Thank you.
Real quick, before I do the gospel, we have a shortened time before break today because of the tribute to Mother Angelica. St. Robert Bellarmine last night, if you were at the first night of the mission, thank you. We're going to really talk about some deep stuff tonight, from fear to faith. I hope you can come back. Dave, what I want to tell you is we have a lot of listeners in that parish, and they came up to me. Several people said, we listen to your show. We love Dave Parker.
Wow. Thank you, folks.
And there was a family.
I love you, too.
Yeah, and there was a family that told me. Of course, I wasn't really nice. I asked.
You're always nice.
There was
Zimak,
a young boy that was there, and he listens. And I said, do you like Mr. Parker? And he said, yes, I do. And I said, well, I don't. And that wasn't really nice. And I said, no, I'm just kidding. I was with Father Larry on Saturday. I'm sorry.
Are you decompressing from Father?
But I'm sorry I said that. I said, you know what? We all love each other here. And Frank was mentioned, too, because people love Frank, too.
Yes,
so
they do.
We thank you for
that.
We
love each other up here.
All right. I'm going to try to get the gospel in. Today's gospel from John.
We love you out there.
Chapter 4, verses 43 through 54. At that time, Jesus left Samaria for Galilee, for Jesus himself testified that a prophet has no honor in his native place. When he came into Galilee, the Galileans welcomed him, since they had seen all he had done in Jerusalem at the feast, for they themselves had gone to the feast. Then he returned to Cana in Galilee, where he made the water wine. There was a royal official whose son was ill in Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus had arrived in Galilee from Judea, he went to him and asked him to come down and heal his son, who was near death. Jesus said to him, unless you people see signs and wonders, you will not believe. The royal official said to him, sir, come down before my child dies. Jesus said to him, you may go, your son will live. The man believed what Jesus said to him, and he left. while the man was on his way back. His slaves met him and told him that his boy would live. He asked them when he began to recover. They told him the fever left him yesterday about 1 in the afternoon. The father realized that was just the time that Jesus said to him, "Your son will live." There is power when you turn to Jesus. Don't ever forget that. If you need a miracle in your life, you ask for it. When we come back, we're going to be joined by Carlo Broussard, and we're going to talk about truth. Stay tuned. Was Walking Like Giants by Stars Go Dim. I'm Gary Zimek, and you are listening to Spirit in the Morning. All right, we're going to talk about truth now. We hear a lot about your truth is different than my truth, and I want to get right to the bottom of this because this is a big problem for those of us who believe in the truth of Jesus Christ, because there really is one truth. We're blessed today to be joined by Carlo Broussard. He is an apologist. He works for Catholic Answers from Louisiana. He was a musician and gave up a successful musical career to go out and spread the good news. Carlo is doing us a big favor and getting up very, very early to join us on the program. Brother Carlo, good morning, my friend.
Good morning, Gary. It's good to be on the air with you.
Oh, man.
It's an honor here.
Oh, you know what? We have some mutual friends. I love your Cajun friends down in Louisiana. I've been there several times. We have a mutual friend, Adam Conk. I know Adam's close with you.
That's right. Yeah.
But I've heard so much about you, brother, and I really appreciate you coming on the air with us this morning.
Oh, you're welcome, man. You're welcome.
Carlo, you are you're a busy guy. I think you were out in Iowa this weekend. Is that correct, at a men's conference?
That's right. I was in Des Moines, Iowa, weekend at a men's conference, and gave a presentation, Forming Men as Defenders of Faith, calling them to challenging them to engage the battle on the intellectual front, because one of the greatest threats to the gift of faith today is the intellectual war that the evil one is waging.
Yeah.
Since the intellect is the gateway to the heart, if he can get a hold of the mind, he can get a hold of the heart and lead it astray.
Mm.
And we see that happening among young adults, millennials, leaving Christianity by the droves because simply they don't see Christianity as a viable option for an intellectually responsible person.
Yeah.
So I was challenging those men to put those remotes down, man, and to pick up a book.
Well, yeah, that's right.
Amen.
That's right.
Put a few books in that man cave, right?
That's right, man. Hey, Carlo, you know, we're excited to have you on because you have a new CD out for Catholic Answers, Your Truth, My Truth, How to Understand and Refute Relativistic Thinking. You know, we've all heard that quote. It might be true for you, but not for me. This is a big problem. Let's talk a little bit about relativism. What exactly is that?
Yeah, well, relativism does come in several different shapes and sizes. You know, there are basically two broad categories of relativism. Mm-hmm. So, like, the first would be global relativism. Some philosophers refer to it as that, or it might be referred to as intellectual relativism, which states that there's no absolute truth in general. So whether you're talking about morality, religion, history, science, there's just no absolute truth in general, no truth independent of what an individual happens to think. What's true for you might not be true for me. What's true for me might not be true for you, etc. So it's truth in general. Now, there's also what is called local relativism. So it would be relativistic claims or claims that truth are relative to the individual in specific areas of thought, morality, history, religion, etc.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the prominent form of local relativism or the area in which relativism is very prevalent in modern culture is morality, right? So it's called moral relativism. So in my talk and in the study guide that I produced to go with the talk, with the CD set, I critique and counter intellectual relativism or global relativism and a specific form of local relativism, namely moral relativism. So like with intellectual relativism, that's fairly easy to refute because the claim is there is no absolute truth. Well, by using the very verb is, you're making a claim about an objective reality. So in essence, you're saying it's absolutely true that there is no absolute truth, which obviously violates the principle of non-contradiction, a first principle of reason, right? So whenever you hear somebody say there really is no absolute truth or truth is relative, et cetera, you simply can ask the question, is that absolutely true? And if they say yes, well, then they're contradicting themselves, right?
Wow.
Philosophy, we say it's self-referentially incoherent. It's self-refuting.
Yeah.
Absolutely true. No absolute truth. That's absurd. If they say, no, it's not absolutely true, well, then they're undermining their position as well to say, well, I guess it's just a mere taste or opinion. It reduces to triviality. Because if it's just one belief among a set of beliefs that you happen to have that nobody else has or that other people don't have, first of all, you're not telling me anything I don't already know.
Right.
And secondly, you're reducing your belief to mere taste of preference, which has no more bearing on reality than your taste of preference of chocolate ice cream over vanilla ice cream.
Mm-hmm.
So number one, why should I be concerned about it? And number two, why should you get your feathers ruffled over me saying you're wrong?
Right.
Because many times the relativist will get upset if I say you're wrong or if I say somebody else is wrong.
Of course.
If I say there is absolute truth, they say you're being intolerant. Well, why are you telling me wrong for telling somebody else they're wrong? So it's an inconsistency.
And we hear a lot of that. And as you demonstrate by what you're saying, the inconsistency really comes out in their own words. If somebody believes in relativism as you engage them in conversation, the flaws of that way of thinking become apparent, and hopefully the individual will realize that by their own argument.
That's right, and that's the whole point of the reputation of relativism. It's not to be triumphalistic. It's not to beat them over the head and say, I'm right or you're wrong.
Right.
The point is to show them, we always have to contextualize our apologetic endeavors. The point is to show them the inconsistencies of the worldview,
right,
to show the absurdities that it leads to, which is what I do in my talk and in the study guide,
mm-hmm,
for so that they may come to see it is false and then embrace what is true, so that they can experience the joy of the truth, right, and the beauty of the truth, mm-hmm, and the freedom that the truth brings. As our Lord and Savior says in John 8:32, the truth will set you free. So the whole point of refuting relativism is because it ultimately undermines the experience of human happiness, which is what we're all ordered toward, right?
Yeah.
Because if this relativism is true, well, then Jesus doesn't matter, God doesn't matter. And if Jesus and God doesn't matter, well, then we can't experience human happiness.
Well, and that's the danger of relativism, because you really,
amen,
take God out of the picture. And, you know, and I think the attractive part of your position of refuting relativism is, well, listen, the truth is really going to make you happy. And everybody,
that's right,
wants, we have that desire for happiness.
Yes, we all, that's the fundamental thing. You know, Aquinas, coming off of Aristotle, would talk about how the fundamental thing, the one thing we really can't choose,
mm-hmm,
really, is the desire for happiness. This is an ultimate end that we are naturally ordered toward, the perfection of our nature. We're ordered toward the good, in the sense that everything else that we choose is for the sake of the good, whether that good is a real good or a perceived good. Regardless, everything we choose is under the aspect of some good, because we all fundamentally desire happiness. So,
mm-hmm,
the question is, what is the good? What is the truth? And the rational, reasonable person, when they come to know what is truly good, given our human nature and our human design,
mm-hmm,
to know what is true, well, then that's going to bring us happiness. You know, Aristotle said, every man desires to know. We're made to know the truth. So when we come to know the truth, then we're going to be fulfilled as human beings. And that's the whole point of the endeavor. Relativistic thinking undermines the pursuit of happiness. And we want to critique it, show its inconsistency, to show that objective truth does exist. And then we identify that objective truth in God, Jesus, and the Catholic Church,
mm-hmm,
and then ultimately experience the happiness we so much long for.
Yeah, Carla, do you think deep down inside, people who believe in relativism or have a relativistic position, do you think they really understand deep down inside that truth is real and that there is one truth?
Well, yeah, I mean, even the manifestation, you know, think about this, Gary. If you're talking to a relativist, in as much as they put forward an argument or any sort of justification of their belief, is a testimony, a witness to their desire for truth.
Right.
I mean, the very fact that they're holding to a belief and wanting to hold on to it manifests a desire for truth. Obviously, it's,
mm-hmm,
skewed, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But in as much as they're wanting to believe something, namely relativism, is a testimony of their desire for truth.
Mm.
And think about this. Their dissatisfaction, or I might say an apparent dissatisfaction, right? They're perceiving the objectivity of truth. They're dissatisfied with my belief in objective truth. The fact that they're dissatisfied with it would be a witness or a testimony to their desire for perfect knowledge and complete knowledge, because in their mind, they're not seeing the justification of objective knowledge, they're not seeing the good of objective truth, etc.,
right,
and they're getting a little flustered with it. Well, that's a testimony to the human desire for perfect and unconditional knowledge.
Mm. Wow. Carlo, I want to thank you so much for coming on with us. We have about 30 seconds left. Your Truth, My Truth, How to Understand and Refute Relativistic Thinking. Where can we pick up this CD?
You just go to shop.catholic.com, type in Your Truth, My Truth in the search engine. It'll pop up,
okay,
and then you purchase the CD, and then you'll get a URL,
mm-hmm,
in order to go online and download the PDF study guide, about a 38-page study guide.
Wow. Wow. Carlo, you are amazing. It's so great to finally be able to talk with you. Is there someplace
same
we can...
Same here, Gary.
Thanks, brother. Can we follow you online somewhere?
Yes, you can follow me online at Facebook. I'm on Twitter as well.
Awesome.
And then you can go to my website, CarloBroussard.com and Kaplan.com.
All right. Carlo Broussard, thank you so much for waking up early
to be with us.
God bless you, brother.
God bless you, brother.
All right. That's Carlo Broussard. When we come back, Megan Coakley will be here from the Archdiocese. Stay tuned.
This is Frank Eliason with your Holy Spirit Radio News Update. The Trump administration answer to Obamacare failed to even go to vote on Friday, leading to speculation about the unity of the Republican Party and who is to blame. With the failed measure, Republicans are now setting their sights on tax reform as the next big hurdle. In a New York Times op-ed piece, Thomas Groom, professor of theology and religious education at Boston College, makes the case that in order to win again, the Democratic Party must stop being the abortion party. In international news, police have arrested hundreds at anti-corruption rallies all around Russia. These are the biggest protests seen in that country in years. In St. Petersburg, 10,000 people participated in the protest, and at least 130 people were detained. Unlike the protests from 2011 and 2012, which mainly involved the middle class, this new movement is being driven by the young generation. In local news, a sad story out of North Philadelphia. Store owner was robbed at knife point. The store owner chased after the robber. As they were chasing, the robber threw the money to the ground, which was taken by local bystanders. The store owner shot the suspect, leaving him in critical condition. In the process, also shot an innocent bystander. In the Philadelphia area, there is a dense fog warning until 10 a.m. this morning, so please be careful. In sports, the Final Four is set. Winning this weekend, you have Oregon, South Carolina, North Carolina, and Gonzaga, with games set for next Saturday. With your Holy Spirit Radio News Update, I'm Frank Eliason. Do you want to have your business get noticed? Do you want to support and evangelize your faith? Underwriting Holy Spirit Radio is a great way to accomplish each of these. Holy Spirit Radio is a listener-supported nonprofit foundation. Join with other faith-filled businesses like yours. Sponsorships start as low as $300 per month. Learn more at holyspiritradio.org, call us at 215-345-1570, or email frank@holyspiritradio.org.
You are listening to Spirit in the Morning with Gary Zimak.
Truth is harder than a lie. The dark seems safer than the light. And everyone has a heart that loves to hide. I'm a mess and so are you. We've built walls nobody can get through. Yeah, it may be hard, but the best bring him. You're not. So bring your brokenness and I'll bring mine. Cause love can heal what hurt divides. And mercy's waiting on the other side. If we're honest, if we're honest.
And that was If We're Honest by Francesca Battistelli. That's the best way to approach a relationship with the Lord. Be honest. Give him your true feelings. That's what he wants. I'm Gary Zimek, and you're listening to Spirit in the Morning. Let's do a quick look at the weather. Currently at the Philadelphia International Airport, we have 42 degrees. Dense fog advisory today, so be careful. Today we're going to have a chance of showers mainly before 2 p.m. That dense fog will continue up until 10 a.m. We'll have a high near 65. Tonight, chance of showers, patchy fog, otherwise mostly cloudy with a low around 50. Tuesday, a chance of showers, then showers likely, and possibly a thunderstorm after 2 p.m. Patchy fog before 2 a.m., cloudy with a high near 67. This sounds like the Erie, Pennsylvania forecast, Dave Parker. Yeah.
Stick around. It'll change in 12 hours.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, man. So that's your weather for today. We're joined now by our friend Megan Coakley from the Archdiocese of Philadelphia. She's the director of the Office for the New Evangelization. She's here to talk about an exciting new program. Megan, good morning.
Good morning.
I'm so excited you're back with us. It's always a thrill when you join us on Spirit in the Morning.
I'm happy to be here.
You sound wide awake and ready to go. I like that.
I'm glad I sound wide awake.
Megan, let's talk about this new program that has been announced by our Archbishop, this three-year program, Remain in My Love. Tell us about that.
Yes, we are so excited. So this project, Remain in My Love, it comes directly from the Archbishop. It's something he wanted. He initiated. My sense is it's really a fruit of the his participation, our participation in the World Meeting of Families as well. You probably know he was the one of three U.S. delegates to the last two synods on the family in Rome. Mm. So I think for him, you know, really the Holy Spirit's been on him and moving in this area. And so he really, you know, this is from his own heart, his own pastoral heart, that he wants to see the diocese better care for our married couples and our families. And so this is an initiative to try to start doing that.
And I think it's a great thing. And it takes place over the course of 3 years. It begins in May. Is that correct?
Yes, it begins in May. So we're kind of going to work in concentric circles as far as audiences go. So the first kind of audience is going to be the Archbishop's own staff. So everybody who works down at the cathedral, who head up all the offices of the different ministries throughout the diocese, they themselves need to be firmly planted in the church's teachings on marriage and family and in a sense be converted to it if they aren't already. And so for year one, it's kind of just that's the critical factor right there. And then it's going to spread out from there to the leadership in our institutions, so the parishes, schools, and then other institutions in the diocese. And then after that, year three, hopefully by then we will have learned a lot, and then we'll be directly trying to minister to and teach and form and convert in some areas married couples themselves and families.
In your personal experience, Megan, do you see a lack of understanding about marriage and what it entails?
Oh, my goodness,
do you really?
Oh, yeah, everywhere. And, you know, I don't think there's an area of the church where there's not confusion or just a lack of awareness. Or maybe if there's an awareness, maybe just a lack of love, a kind of not really understanding the potency of what Christ has revealed about marriage and why it's so critical. So, yeah, I mean, and I think the confusion, it comes from the culture. But to be honest, I think it also comes from folks in the church who have not exactly been clear about what the church does teach, why it's so good for us, why it brings so much life. And so we have a lot of work to do on this topic, and it's absolutely necessary if, as John Paul II would say, you know, if culture is going to stand, if we're going to survive, it's going to be because we've taken care of our married couples and our families.
Now, as the director of the Office of New Evangelization, you go out and you make sure that we're evangelizing.
Yeah.
What do we say? Evangelizing the catechized? Is that what the new evangelization is? Or I always get that mixed up.
Yeah, I mean, definitely we're out evangelizing and then following up with catechesis.
Right,
the evangelization is that first encounter, but then there needs to be the whole progression of discipleship, which is a lot of teaching.
Right. Now, and what I've seen in my experience, and you can tell me if this you would agree with this, we have many people who go through the process and who learn the teachings of the faith. You know, people who are baptized and sacramentalized, if you will, but they don't have that personal relationship with Jesus Christ, that personal friendship necessarily.
Yeah.
And to take it a step further and to tie in with this new program, a lot of these individuals, opportunities to go out and evangelize, a lot of these opportunities exist in our own families. There are family members living with us who need to know about Jesus Christ.
Oh, absolutely. Well, you know, and to be honest, I think in order to even accept the teachings of the church on marriage, because many of them are very radical, I mean, they're radical demands that Christ makes of us, I think our hearts will only soften to that and be receptive to that if we know the person who's asking it of us, if we're in love with him.
Uh-huh.
Otherwise, you know, I don't know if we can, if it's only coming from the outside and it's not coming from a person that we know and love, I think it's going to be very hard to take in some of the real demands that Jesus asks of each of us for marriage and family.
I totally agree, and I run into this all the time in the course of my work, and I always say, you've got to get to know Jesus first, then everything else makes sense, because otherwise it's just a series of rules and regulations, and eventually you're going to get tired of that. You got to know
absolutely.
Jesus personally, and I know you're passionate about that.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and the other thing is, too, is to present the teachings on marriage and the family in the context of a relationship with Christ. So I think there's the way that even when we're delivering the message about marriage, it can become an evangelizing opportunity, because marriage is ultimately about the spousal union of Christ and the church, and so that's a way that you can speak about both things at the same time and hopefully help people fall in love. You know, so for example, I mean, I think our friends out at the Theology of the Body Institute can attest to this.
Right.
When they go around and talk about theology of the body, which is really rooted, it's a deeply experiential teaching, and it's about the union with Jesus Christ that then takes place in a marriage, people are just radically converted to it. So I think there is a way to deliver the teachings that's rooted in the real living person of Christ that can convert people. And that's our hope with this. Our hope is that this is a time of conversion for all of us.
Is there a place we can go to find out more about this program?
Yeah, so it's on the Archdiocesan website, archphila.org/remain. And everything's there. We'll be developing years 2 and 3. Year 1 is the one that's most developed on the website right now. But you can get a sense of the whole plan and what's going to be covered each year.
You know what? We are in good hands with you in charge of the Office of New Evangelization. I could just sit here and listen to you for the rest of the show. Megan, you're good. You're on fire.
Oh, we have fun.
I know. Obviously, you know Jesus Christ well. And you are such a gift. You really are.
Thanks, Gary.
Now, we have a few minutes left.
Great.
Couple of weeks left in Lent.
Yeah.
What can we do? What if we think that, man, I really messed up this Lent.
Right.
It's not working. I'm not doing what I should. Is it too late, Megan?
Oh, absolutely not. You know, we just passed Laetare Sunday, and there's something really significant about that pink, the rose, as our priest would say.
Yes.
You know, that the light of Easter is actually pressing backward into Lent. You know, there's something very profound about that. So the fundamental message of that is it's Jesus himself who's the primary mover in our Lenten conversion, like that he's the actor here. We just respond. And so we can look at the last couple of weeks of Lent as really kind of this kind of inbreaking of a very powerful grace, whereas if we've missed our opportunities up to now, we can just jump right in. And I think the Lord will make up for what was lacking, and he's going to do it. As long as we give him our yes and kind of really push in to these last couple weeks and ask the Lord, what do I need to do from now to Easter? He'll do it, and he'll let you know. He'll let you know what you need to do.
And that's such a good point, because so many times in terms of our spiritual life, we think it's all on us.
Exactly.
It's up to me to do it. But it's not.
We've
got to let the Lord do his thing.
Yeah, he really, that was very much the gift of Benedict the 16th Pontificate, right, that God is the primary mover in mm-hmm. everything in the Christian life. So we kind of, in a sense, almost have to get out of the way. let him do it, you know, by being receptive, by being attentive to his movements, but kind of let him lead. And maybe that's why we failed in our Lenten practices, because it was something we developed and not what he necessarily was asking of us.
You're so true about that, because we, every year, we think, well, this is what I'm going to give up for Lent. But maybe that's not what the Lord wants us to do.
Right, yeah.
I like this.
He's got a plan in mind.
Oh, man. That's really good. Megan, you are good. I'm telling you, you are really good. I'm not kidding. I would not kid you about this. Thank you so much for coming on with us on a regular basis. I know it's not easy for you, but it really, you're such a gift, and you're such a great addition to this program, and I thank you.
Oh, thanks. It's a pleasure. I'm happy to talk with you guys.
Is there a place we can follow your office online?
Yeah, so the office website is phillyevange.org. And one great thing is just to sign up for the monthly newsletter, and then that way you can see kind of everything that's going on in the diocese. So people feed me all their stuff, and then I just feed it back out. So, yeah, you can see there's a lot of awesome stuff going on that people are doing.
Great. Megan, thank you so much.
Thanks so much, guys. God bless you, too.
And we're going to have to get you on again.
Yes, sounds good.
All right, awesome. Okay. Megan Coakley, thank you. God bless you, Megan.
God bless. Bye.
Megan Coakley, the director of the Office of New Evangelization for the Archdiocese of Philadelphia. I love having her on.
Oh, I do too.
Dave, she is so good. I just sat back and, man.
Yeah, she gave the impression like, I'm not really awake. You are awake, Megan.
Oh, yeah.
I'm telling you. And you're always fired up and ready to go.
And what's nice about Megan is it's so obvious that she knows Christ personally, and she is just filled with that joy. That joy is contagious. That's what happens. That's what happens when you get to know Jesus Christ. And people can pick up on that joy. If you get to know Christ and you go out there and share that joy with others, they're going to want to follow. They're going to say, hey, I need to get to meet this guy, Jesus, too. So you go out there, you be joyful. As the Pope says, don't be a sourpuss. We have to smile sometimes. All right, stay tuned. We've got a very special tribute to Mother Angelica coming up.
Love is what we come here for. This is why we're staying. Love is what we come here for. The kind that won't be
faded. Hi there. This is Mother Angelica.
On this anniversary of Mother Angelica taking her final journey home to the Lord, we want to thank her for inspiring the founding of Holy Spirit Radio and inspiring many involved with the new evangelization.
I've been in full-time ministry for 5 years. It's been an up-and-down struggle. Sometimes there are a lot of challenges. One of the most profound influences on keeping me going was reading the biography of Mother Angelica by Raymond Arroyo. What I learned was that not everything always works out when you're in ministry, and just because it doesn't mean it's not God's will for you. Times we're going to have these bumps in the road. Not everything worked out for Mother Angelica with EWTN. So she had difficulties, and that makes me feel good. That made me feel good. And because of Raymond's book about Mother Angelica, I was able to persevere and continue in ministry. So I'm very
grateful. On Spirit in the Morning, Raymond Arroyo shared some of his thoughts.
The greatest lesson for me, the one that I always, you know, am in awe of, and I look at her life and the trajectory of it. And people go, oh, look, she built this network from nothing, and she has faith, and she moved forward. Yeah, she did do all of that. But that was not the core of who she was. She was not a media mogul. She was not a media czar. That's not what she aspired to be. She really, truly was a contemplative nun who had a deep heart and a mission for reaching every soul with the truth of Christ and with the truth of the gospel. That's what she wanted. That's what she worked and labored for. But the thing that most amazed me, and it carried on straight through her life, Mother was always searching like a hungry child for what God was calling her to do next. And she used to always say, from the very beginning, when we started working on the biography and I began interviewing her, she said, my life is a testament to the power of divine providence. My whole life is a testament to divine providence. And what she meant by that, for those who might be unfamiliar with the term, is that God will lead you. God will open up opportunities if you're seeking his will, he will show you in his providence what he desires for you. Now, she would run like no one had ever seen. Because she lived in what she would call the present moment, every moment was available to her. She was always on the hunt for, where is God in this moment, and what am I supposed to do in it? That was her constant footing. So that's why this woman who barely made it out of high school, you know, living in Birmingham, Alabama, as a cloistered nun, dared to go and found a television network and thought she could do it. This is why she would embrace international opportunities and grow the thing. This is why a girl who'd never seen television got in front of the TV and really took it by storm. It was living in the present moment, always receptive to God's will. And, you know, I remember asking her many, many times, because I think this is a question, not only me, I think we all struggle with, you know, how do you know God's will?
Yeah.
How do you know what God is calling you to? And she used to always say God's will is manifested in the present moment, in the duties and the responsibilities of the present moment. Yours is simply to recognize them and move. You know, without hesitation. That was her approach to life. And that carried her through the EWTN period. And when that ended, she had the stroke. She embraced that moment, too. And then she lived her last 15 years slowly deprived of speech, slowly deprived of mobility. And yet, the spirit, the calling, the mission went on and on and on. And that was, and it continues today, because ultimately it wasn't Mother Angelica's mission. It was God's mission for her. And we all have our own.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, so that the takeaway for me has always been living in the present moment. And, you know, she taught me something else. She taught me a certain fearlessness, Gary. Mm-hmm. You know, I've done a lot of very crazy things in my career and my life. People go, well, why would he do that now? Well, why are you doing that?
Right.
You know, why are you producing, you know, a jazz album and a special for PBS? What does that have to do with it? But, you know, why are you writing a children's series?
Yeah.
Because these were inspirations that I felt I was called to. And but for Mother Angelica, I probably would not have gone down those paths or even attempted those things. Before, I'm glad I did.
I'm glad you did, too.
As we were listening to clips of Mother Angelica, we knew our listeners would love to hear this one.
You got, I was telling them you got bacalao here. You don't know what bacalao is? It's dried codfish. And you can smell it. A block down. But what used to fascinate me is they would have the bacalao here, and then it'd have chickens hanging there and ham and prosciutto. And they're all full of flies. And nobody cared. So a woman would go up and say, I want that one. It was all full of flies. You'd think it was full of pepper or something. All of a sudden, you'd go reach it, all the flies would go around. You know what amazed me? Nobody got sick eating that stuff. Now they're so hygienic, everybody's sick.
Right.
And so, then you go right next to the bacalao was a place where they sold dresses. And if you got a bargain, there were dresses piled up like this. See? And in one place I saw he had dry, or it was a dry smoked chicken here, dresses here, shoes here, and bacalao there. It's a fascinating place, and if you go on a tour, go to Philadelphia Italian Market. You'll get bargains. The wonderful thing is, the flies are still there.
Mother Angelica, we will continue to keep you in our prayers. Please keep us in yours.
Inspired by the Holy Spirit, communicating hope.
More enjoyable than Scrapple. Spirit.
Spirit.
Spirit in the Morning with Gary Zimak.
Thank you so much.
and help us to be wise in times when we don't know. Let this be our prayer. When we lose our way, lead us to a place, guide us with your grace, to a place where we'll be safe.
La luce che tu dai.
Celine Dion, Josh Groban. That's right, Josh Groban. Thank you, Celine, but I'm speaking now.
Brilliant, Celine.
I am Gary Zimak, and man, Frank Eliason, that was one heck of a tribute you put together.
Oh, Mother Angelica was such a, you know, inspirational person. If you pay attention to any of the things she's ever done, any of the ways that she speaks, she calls you to action.
She does.
And she does it in a way that is... not you must do this or this.
Right.
She inspires you.
Yep. Yep.
You know, and we, you know, the founding of the station, you know, all started from a Mother Angelica episode where she simply called people to go out and buy radio stations.
Wow.
And now we have Holy Spirit Radio. Mm-hmm. So Mother Angelica inspired what we do here each and every day.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've listened to numerous, tons of her shows. And every time I hear her, A, I see a human being.
Mm-hmm.
I see someone.
She's real.
She's real.
Yeah.
She's not preaching at you or dictating right. at you. She's telling stories. She's laughing. She's, hey, I've sinned. I've done this.
You know, yep.
And she talks openly about these things. You know, but at the end of the day, you walk away going, I know what I need to do. I That's know it. What is inspiring me. And I love the Raymond Arroyo, you know, clip because I thought he talked about some interesting things that aren't always talked about.
Right.
You know,
right.
how she was viewing things, how, you know, she was looking upon it as a calling mm-hmm. from, you know, the Lord above to do different things.
That's right.
And just following his lead.
You know, how she was so contemplative, but she, from that deep prayer, she made it actual. She made it happen in simplistic ways. And so inspiring.
She wasn't yeah. trying to build this big medium mobile
No, she
thing.
Wasn't. No.
She was just trying to do what she thought was right. And if you look around, nowadays we talk about the new evangelization. We weren't talking about new evangelization then. She was just doing it.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right. And of course, today we celebrate the one-year anniversary of her death. And I've shared this, and you caught part of that on my interview with Raymond. Mother inspired me a lot, and she is one of the reasons I kept going in full-time ministry even after I wanted to quit, especially when I read her autobiography and I realized that there were times she would fail. Little projects she would do, they didn't always work out. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean that God's not calling you to do something. And she knew Jesus Christ really well, and that's the key. She would consistently talk to the Lord, and he would inspire her, and she'd have minor defeats, but overall, you know, that's going to be the story for most of us.
Well, we were recently just at EWTN. I would say the most powerful thing to that whole entire trip was a private moment at the crypt with Mother.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, you just felt it.
Yep.
And you felt the inspiration. You felt the calling. And so, you know, nothing can really top that. And, you know, so I think that there's such wonderful things she did in life. But she continues to do wonderful things.
And my understanding is she wouldn't make a move without consulting the Lord numerous times if she had to.
Correct.
Give me the direction, Lord, on any the smallest move.
And then you know what Mother did, though, and Raymond highlighted this in his book, and he's talked about this as well. As soon as Mother got an inspiration from the Lord, through the Holy Spirit, she acted on it. Even if she wasn't sure if it was coming from the Lord, she would run with it because she knew, and she said this, if it was from the Lord, it would work. If it was not, it would fall apart. Frank, how many times do we get these ideas? Now, you talk about this station came about because Mother Angelica said, we have a need for Catholic radio stations. To be honest with you, if I had heard that, I would say, I can't start a radio station. But thank God that wasn't the case at Holy Spirit Radio.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. I think that, you know, ultimately, but you get that feeling that you need to do something for those that know Dale, you mm-hmm. know, and Jane. That's not something you would expect them to own a radio station. I've talked about that numerous times. But ultimately, mm-hmm. they do. And it has brought some great programming and brought people into this faith. And that's what we're called to
do.
It
was meant to be. It
yes.
happened.
That's right. It's just a matter of hearing the Lord call and responding to it. So we're grateful for Mother Angelica. We're grateful for Holy Spirit Radio. And we're grateful for you as a listener. We got so many great comments at the parish mission last night at St. Robert Bellarmine. Frank, you didn't hear this earlier. I said to Dave, people said they love Dave Parker. They love Frank Eliason. Your name came up. And they love the show. They love the music that we're doing. And we're blessed to be a part of this.
And we love you guys.
We do.
Keep listening.
That's
we
right.
Do.
We do. We're going to get better. We're getting good. We're practicing. Right? Let's close with prayer. In the name of the Father, of Son, of the Holy Spirit, amen. O God, who renew the world through the mysteries beyond all telling, grant, we pray, that your church may be guided by your eternal design and not be deprived of your help in this present age through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
Wherever you go today, whatever you do, remember the Lord is with you. Don't forget to say thank you. God bless you. Thanks for listening.